Christopher Deedy, a federal officer, shot and killed Colin Eldredge in November of 2011 and has gone on trial for it twice, with juries unable to convict on charges ranging from second-degree murder to reckless manslaughter to assault in the first degree. The Supreme Court ruled last week that Deedy can go on trial yet again, despite two hung juries, and the Honolulu prosecutor has vowed to pursue the case. But has the prosecution's case already been tainted in two past trials? And what are the distinctions among the charges, manslaughter, murder, or assault? Ronette Kawakami is a lecturer in law at UH Manoa's Richardson Law School, served as a deputy public defender for 26 years. We're asking her to help us sort it all out. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, Chris.
And when I say sort it all out, it really does take some sorting, doesn't it?
Yes, it's a very complicated case. It's not something that's really easy to look at. Even the Supreme Court case that came down last week is a substantial decision. It's a whole bunch of pages. I believe it's around 61 or 67 pages of the actual decision, and then another 30-some-odd pages for the dissent in this case. So mm-hmm. it is there's a whole bunch of issues that were addressed, and Supreme Court, I think, did very well.
Well, a lay opinion might be reading about this. Isn't this double jeopardy, even beyond double jeopardy? He has had two trials, right?
Right. So he has two trials. And double jeopardy basically is a second prosecution for the same offense after there has been an acquittal, mm-hmm. or a second prosecution for the same offense after there's been a conviction, or multiple punishments for the same offense. Mm-hmm. In the Deedy case, you have neither an acquittal nor a conviction. So, and he's not being punished. There's no sentence handed down. So double jeopardy just doesn't apply in this case.
So the idea being that, let's sort of set the stage. The first case sought a murder conviction, did not offer the option of a manslaughter as an alternative, right?
Right. So basically the what wasn't offered was an instruction by the court that they could consider manslaughter. And that's one of the things that the defense in the interlocutory appeal that was taken before the Supreme Court stated as one of their grounds for double jeopardy. And that particular concept is called abandonment. And that was addressed in the decision through the Quitaug case. I'm not sure if I'm even pronouncing it correctly, but it is spelled Quitog, State versus Quitaug. Mm-hmm. And basically what that case is saying, that the prosecution abandoned the charges of murder and manslaughter. And the difference between the Quitaug case and the Deedy case, and this is what the Supreme Court says, is that in the Quitaug case, the prosecutor in that case said, all right, jury, in their closing argument, you're right, or the defense is right. There's no murder here. There's no manslaughter here. I want you to convict this person of assault, absolutely assault. But they abandoned the first two charges, which are the higher charges, murder and manslaughter, find them guilty of assault. That's not what happened in the Deedy case. In the Deedy case, the prosecution focused on the murder charge. Mm-hmm. They didn't abandon the other two charges, the lesser included. What they did was they focused on the murder charge. So what the Supreme Court's saying is that the defense in Deedy flipped the Quitaug reasoning and tried to apply it to Deedy case, and it just doesn't work in the reverse.
Well, Ronnie, this is probably a pretty good time to make the distinction between murder and manslaughter. And what would the distinction be if you offer manslaughter as a lesser option? What's the difference in the burden?
From a really more simplistic way of rather than reading out the charge itself,
right.
The simplistic way of explaining it is murder is intentional conduct. You intentionally and knowingly kill someone. Mm-hmm. In reckless manslaughter, you're behaving in a reckless manner. The state of mind changes. If you don't use due care that a normal person would, and you recklessly engage in conduct that kills someone, that's reckless manslaughter. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. It's mostly, for the most part, it's the state of mind.
Deedy now faces trial. This third Deedy trial will be on the charge of reckless manslaughter, right?
That's my understanding, because his jury actually acquitted him of the murder in the second degree in the second trial, but we have the remaining lesser included offenses.
His attorneys are going to argue he's already been. Are they going to continue arguing double jeopardy? Or, well, they, or can they not after the Supreme Court ruling?
To the jury, they cannot argue double jeopardy because this is a question of law. The Supreme Court already made that decision.
Okay.
The Hawaii Supreme Court has already made the decision. Whether they're able to take it to the feds at this point, to the federal courts, I'm not sure. I didn't see the report. Someone had reported to me that his attorneys mentioned that they were going to now take it to the federal courts. I'm not sure if they can at this interlocutory point in time. And mm-hmm. an interlocutory appeal is an appeal that's it's unusual. It's not usually taken because appeals are usually taken after a final judgment. There's no final judgment yet, right? Mm-hmm. So these are, in certain circumstances, certain cases or certain issues can be decided by the courts in between. And that's what's happening right now.
Well, now, let me just clarify. He no longer faces Sandy Jeopardy as a murder charge, right?
That's correct.
And yet he can face trial as reckless manslaughter.
That's correct.
That creates a perception of double jeopardy, doesn't it?
It does create a perception of it. I think that that's one of the things that the defense stated in their motions. I'm sorry, in their appeal. Mm-hmm. And so there are three areas that the defense focused on. One was just the double jeopardy constitutional, Hawaii State Constitution and the United States Constitution, and collateral estoppel. And I think the court, and that one, as we talked about, the court found that that was not, there was no final judgment and there was no acquittal and there was no conviction on reckless manslaughter. So they also attacked it on our statutory laws under Hawaii Revised Statute 701-109, 701-110, subsection 1, and 701.
Those numbers aren't going to mean anything.
Right, I know. I understand that, but that's what you're talking about, isn't
okay.
it? Like, isn't the same conduct? But the thing is that it may be the same conduct, but there was no actual acquittal because there was no acquittal on the conduct.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court is saying reckless manslaughter can still move forward. There must be an acquittal of the lessers. Because it's different for 701-110 instead of different for 701-109. But that's exactly what you're talking about, is it seems like it is the same, but it's not.
Well,
because it's different conduct, it's a different state of mind.
From the defendant's point of view, it's changing the terminology for another bite at the apple.
Right. It's not terminology. It's not just terminology. It's also conduct and state of mind. And state of mind is a part and an element of every criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that that the prosecutor must prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And the state of mind has to apply to every element of the charge. So it has to be, I intentionally acted this way. I intentionally knew what I was doing. I knew about the consequences of what I was doing. So it's a high standard. It's a high burden.
One of the things that emerged in the two previous trials is the defendant, Christopher Deedy, had been drinking.
Right.
He was out, you know, he was at a McDonald's. He was off work. And yet the fact that he had been drinking, admittedly, right, does not go to conduct at all?
It does go to conduct. Now, alcohol is not in and of itself, or intoxication. It shouldn't just say alcohol because it could be like drugs or anything. Anything like that, something that alters your consciousness. Intoxication, as a general rule, is not an excuse to conduct. So you can't use it as a defense. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drunk. You know, mm-hmm. that just doesn't fly statutorily and in our law. That doesn't work. However, it can be something that's relevant to how they behaved or how someone behaved. Like, for example, if it's a DUI charge, of course it's going to be relevant. Mm-hmm. Drinking or intoxication is relevant to that case. If it's something that's going to help the prosecution, I would think the prosecution would want it in. If it's something that does not help the defense would try to keep it out. So there's this thing called a motion in limine, and it basically means a motion at the point or at the doorway of the trial. And that's done before the trial actually starts. And attorneys will file their motions before the court, their motions in limine, specifically spelling out, we think this is relevant, we want this to come in. We think this is not relevant, we don't want this to come in. And those kinds of things will be decided by the judge prior to trial starting.
Ronnie, I suspect we're going to learn a lot more about these kinds of things as this trial goes forward. Thanks very much for talking with us.
All right, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Ronette Kawakami is the Associate Dean of Student Services at UH Manoa's Richardson Law School. She's the former co-director of the Hawaii Innocence Project, and she served as a deputy public defender for 26 years.